Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing CISFA. What's Brewing CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-21 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana. Let's get going on this morning. It's a Tuesday morning. Here we are. I hope you got your cup all nice and full.
I'm so ready right now. Yes.
That's good because we have a surprise on a Tuesday. Ooh, instead of doing news, we'll do news at the end of the week when it's still not old, but still new news.
Okay.
We have our interview today.
Hey, all right.
So we're
changing it up a little bit.
Yes, we are. So let's welcome to the show David Shook, who is the Director of Financial Aid at Copper Mountain College in Joshua Tree and the webmaster for CISFA. So welcome, David.
Yes, thanks so much for having me on this morning. I've got my dark magic roast here.
Yeah, because we do tape early, everybody. So you need to have sometimes a strong cup of coffee to just get going. I only have lemon tea again, but that's only because I got up a little late and I didn't have time to turn on the coffee pot and go. But we'll definitely be having coffee when we're done with the show. I know
absolutely.
It's a long day ahead of us. So, David, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll have some follow-up questions and get into your financial aid world and life and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, as we all know, life is very, very interesting nowadays. Mm-hmm. I started in financial aid, like many of us did, as a student worker here when I was attending Copper Mountain College back in 2004. So I've been in this office since then. So, I served 4 years in the Marines out here in 29 Palms. And then one of the reasons that I joined up in the military was to get education benefits. So I wanted to take advantage of that. So that's what I did is got out. I did music in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
And started studying social science here out at Copper Mountain. Like I said, that was way back in 2004. Got my degree here in 2006 and then started on a 4-year degree in human development with Azusa Pacific. Then my wife and I started a family, so I kind of took a break from pursuing an education and ended up going back and got my master's with National.
Okay.
In 2017. So
wow, look at that.
I am very glad to be done with school for now.
I hear you. Well, if you've listened to the show, I know, so you know you have that APU connection then with co-host Dana, right, Dana?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Great school. That was interesting. That was my first kind of take on a satellite campus because I had to travel up to Victor Valley College. They had
internal
campus buildings out there. And that was back when gas was over $5 a gallon. So that was an interesting
time
in our life as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For those who don't know, Azusa Pacific is what we call in the Inland Empire of California, which means it's east of L.A., but west of Joshua Tree and Copper Mountain College. So there's a bit of highway travel to get there.
Absolutely.
Beautiful school right next to one of our sister community colleges, Citrus College up there, sitting right up against the hills and all. So, we've got a few APU alumni who come on the show, and I know quite a few in my life from the cigar shop I go to occasionally. Well, I don't go there right now during these times, but when I do, very popular, well-taken school. So that's awesome. That's a great, so straight from student worker, you've been in that same office and always eyeing that corner director office. And
yeah, I, you know, my predecessor was here, and I really looked up to him. Shout out to Mr. Brian Heineman.
Yes.
And, you know, who was also involved with CSPA,
mm-hmm.
and other organizations that we all take part in. But yeah, we went through a lot of changes. This building that we're in currently used to be a lot smaller and a lot more condensed and compacted. So then mm-hmm. we had to move over into the library while they rebuilt and expanded this current building that we're in.
Uh-huh.
So we had two moves, and the library moved into some portable buildings that we purchased. So they were sitting on campus. And so that was kind of an awkward time, but mm-hmm. You know, the building that we were in before had some mold issues.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's like one of those things.
We moved out, and then we moved back in this nice shiny new building.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it's been quite the adventure out here. So.
Yeah. It doesn't take much sometimes for campuses to get to the point where even when you're in a nice building and you're there with your other fellow student services, and you know, it's also cyclical in the one-stop shop thoughts and other things, how easy it is to run out of room, how you have to expand.
Absolutely. Yep. No, we've got a nice one-stop shop area here. It's kind of in a half circle type of layout. So our students can literally come in and talk to financial aid, go one desk over, talk to someone in admissions. EOPS is here, access, counseling. So we're all, and we're located across the quad from the library, from the bookstore, from the foundation, from the student activity center, and from the cafeteria. So,
oh wow,
it's a really good area down here. A lot of great fellow employees work in this area. Mm-hmm. So,
how many students do you have out there at Copper Mountain?
Well, usually we have about 1,800, but of course that's down now as you know we kind of navigate this difficult time. I know mm-hmm. nationwide kind of enrollments has dropped a little bit, but we're doing what we can to, you know, try to make sure our students are still successful in completing their academic goals and getting used to this new environment that we're all in. You know, just kind of chugging along. You know, the one of the most beneficial things that I've noticed through all of this is how pleasant and patient the students have been.
Absolutely.
and I hope that goes, you know, with other schools as well, but you know, it's been a real blessing that they've kind of adopted these new protocols and procedures, and we're all just kind of jumping in on this ship together. So
Dana, you probably could speak better to this, because mm-hmm. I do my best to stay away from the front counter because I want to make sure our students get good, accurate information. How would you say? Okay. Would you say you've seen the same thing with our students?
Oh, yes. They're very thankful, very grateful. Mm-hmm. The only issue I would say is maybe just, you know, the technology part of it. But like David said, I mean, they've been pretty pleasant and patient with us. You know, during this time. Yeah.
I'll just say the technology, you're right on the technology. I mean, we have the mm-hmm. students who are right on top of it and got good internet connection, but more than likely we're catching the students who, again, who probably had to adjust at the last minute, like many of our employees
mm-hmm.
yep. and, or could be at home with multiple, you know, for our students who are family, you know, have families, could be home with those who are working, those who mm-hmm. are going to school. You know, it can get a little harried sometimes on that. I'm sure you probably have some of those same kind of things going on at home when you have to work from home. You got some other family members hanging around?
I sure do. And, you know, with all the devices that are connected to the internet nowadays, you know, of course, we've got like the Google thing and the Alexa.
Yes.
And, you know, we recently upgraded our garage door opener. And it's linked up to Wi-Fi too, so that, you know, when we're down the street, we can get on our phone and we can update it. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the kids all have their school laptops, and my wife and I have our laptops at home. And, you know, all of that is kind of stealing the bandwidth from one another, you know, with all of these things that are connected, and we're all trying to get what we need done, you know, each day. It becomes becomes interesting at home. So I've been fortunate where I have my own office now. So mm-hmm. I can come in and keep the door closed, so I don't run any risk of getting COVID or giving COVID.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's a lot easier for me personally to come into the office. You know, I'm spoiled with my two monitors and all of that, and can get everything done. If I need to print something out, then I can do that.
Yeah, that's a Remember When days for me, because I only go in about maybe once a month, usually right. to check the mail, make sure the office is still, you know, no pipes have exploded. you talk about mold and stuff. You know, I've unplugged everything, and I'll pick up something. Like, I had to pick up a new notebook computer because my office one died about a month or so ago. So I run everything off my home computer. But if you can get away, you can't. I miss those double monitors on the wall and the fast speeds because, you know, as great as VPN can sometimes be, we have the kind that seems to slowly get slower and slower during the day. And then it's like, literally, you just have to stop and then get back onto it. And then it's good. And then it gets slower and slower during the day. You'd think it was a mechanical item working somewhere on campus to run my VPN.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the machines get tired just like we do.
Exactly. It's like, okay, maybe you need to take a nap or something. I'm like, okay. if you're going to insist that I just slow down my work, I will.
Now, and it gets to that point where it's like, well, do I really need another cup of coffee at, you know, 4:30 p.m.
Yeah. Is it me?
The three that I had earlier in the day going to be enough?
Now I got to figure out, is it me or is it the computer? I can't remember.
It's both.
Now, sometimes, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
So, David, we also mentioned that you are not to get off topic of working at schools and all, our CISFA webmaster. You've been the webmaster now for a number of years.
Yeah, I think this is going on the fourth or fifth year.
Okay, we do tend to keep people. I'll say that was my first position in the association too. Mm-hmm. And it all happened because my former boss, Pat Hurley, who retired, but is still out there, and we're going to have her on the show for interviews in the spring. At some point, and maybe some extended episodes on the history of financial aid. But she was good friends with Beth Asmus, who was CISFA president back in, I'm going to say, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And so Beth was like the first webmaster for the association. You know, first got our website in the old 90s, and she would kind of run it all. But now she was going to be president, and she was working over the hill from my school at College of the Canyon. So Beth talked to Pat talked to me, and it's like, well, Dennis seems to have some technical skills. I guess, I don't know, not that deep. Thus I was what webmaster for a number of years. And then I believe we had Andy, and then you came along, and if anything, you've helped usher us into a new world. You had the challenges.
Yeah. I mean, that's been an adventure in itself. We had a previous web hosting company called ATAC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the reasons were, but they kind of shut their virtual doors, so to speak. And so we went through a big transition period from ATAC to the new web host,
yes,
which is called MemberClix. And so we had to, you know, export out all the information that we wanted to keep and keep that organized, and then import it into the new web host on the back end, so that we still had access to it, and then kind of go through this deciphering phase where we wanted to find out what information we wanted to have on the homepage, and what we wanted to have on various tabs. So we're still running through that. It's quite the learning experience, but one that's very beneficial.
Yeah, I'll say our website is really, it's coming along. I mean, you know, that back end stuff comes along a little slower because, again, we had nearly, you know, 20 years of accumulation of documents, minutes, regional meeting reports, you name it, that have to come over first. And then we have to figure out how to put it out there and publish it, you know, so people can see it.
Yeah.
But it's looking good. And this is that clarion call out there for anyone out there in our CISFA world that wants to help or has web interests. I'm sure David could always have some help looking at stuff. You know, if you have some design ideas as far as how, what pages flow to what, let us know. We're always willing. Yeah,
absolutely. And normally, you know, when we do the in-person conference, we put a call out for volunteers. And that's a great way. If anyone happens to be interested in volunteering for CISFA in any capacity, I'm sure Dennis, you'd be more than happy to.
Absolutely.
Some volunteers with some different duties, and they can kind of go from a wide range of different things. So, you know, web help to, you know, helping with, organize and type up breakout session descriptions. And,
absolutely.
And adding things like that in. So
yeah, we are starting to roll on the conference again and getting our sessions kind of all laid out. We're going to have, luckily, for those who were not able to attend the spring conference, because none of us could have attended the last spring conference, we're putting on much of the same show. We're going to try to keep as much great content as we had already planned for 2020 on the 2021 docket. And yes, if you would like to help with conference, please, you know, email the show at wbcisfa@gmail.com. Me and Dana will get back to you. If you have technical skills and you like working on your website, I know, like I do the one for our office at the college, but if there's others out there, lend your help to your association, help David out, and we'll keep our website nice and neat and tidy. So we're kind of at a nice little break point here. Let's play a little music and come back for our next segment with our interviewee.
And welcome to our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
It's time to get a nice little refill, everybody. Get a little tea. Get a little coffee, everyone, and we'll roll along for a little bit more here with our interview subject today. David Shook, Director of Financial Aid at Copper Mountain College over in Joshua Tree, and our CISFA webmaster. Now, I know Brian Heineman, we talked about him, former Director of Financial Aid out there at Copper Mountain, former CISFA president, and he helped us through a bit of transition, too. You know, when we moved calendars, we used to always be December time, right around now, you know, kind of conference. And then we decided to do a spring one, break away from CASFA to kind of offer up some opportunities throughout the year. And he obviously was involved in the association. He dragged you into it. Now, do you have some aspirations, David, beyond webmaster, maybe? I guess ask in general.
I wouldn't put it too far out there. That's definitely a possibility sometime, maybe in the future or near future, or maybe 5 years down the road, whatever.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, we have people.
Yeah, you know, it's a unique opportunity working with the association, because you get to meet other directors and other, you know, financial aid specialists and technician in a different capacity, right? So, you know, we know each other from, you know, email strains or email threads. But when you work with an association like CISFA, you get to meet with these people and talk to them about different things other than financial aid, you know, and that's one thing that I really appreciate.
Yeah, that I think that it really helps bind people together. Because, I mean, I know where you work because I have a family member that spends a lot of time in Joshua Tree.
Right.
I've been to Sacramento. I've been to a few other schools. But you really get to hear the different perspective. I mean, your school's different than mine. My school is different than Sonoma College up there in the north, from Butte, Shasta, all these schools that are kind of on the outside. Because otherwise, I just think of – it's easy to say, well, I'm part of 9 community colleges in LA. Well, you know, I guess that's the way the world is. Right. But it isn't. We all have different needs and takes. And I think we also learn quite a bit how to run our offices by hearing inspiration from others, you know, as far as how they do things, this type of technology they use.
Absolutely.
You know.
You know, and I have a new, I have two fairly new staff members. They're both financial aid specialists, but one just started in September.
Okay.
And I keep trying to tell her that, you know, don't judge the financial aid industry on the current situation, right?
So, sure.
you know, things are being virtual and we're not able to help students in person like we normally do. And, you know, I talk about how much fun it is, you know, when you do something as simple as like start downloading ICERS for the next school year. And then students are excited to come in and turn in their documentation mm-hmm. and you get to log it into the system. And, you know, okay, you know, it'll be a couple weeks before you get your award letter or whatever the case is. And all of that's different and new. Like I mentioned earlier, we're all kind of going through this difficult, challenging phase together. But, you know, that's one thing about, you know, going back to CSPA and talking with and conversing with one another. We recently went to Central California, my wife and my kids and I, and mm-hmm. Out in the middle of nowhere, we drove by a sign for another community college campus.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Brian Heineman telling me when I first became involved with CSPA, he says, you know, these are the people that you want to talk to. These are the people that you want to get to know. And I remember that specifically because he mentioned that, you know, if you were, you know, if I was driving into the Inland Empire from here and I had car trouble or something, mm-hmm. I could call or email the financial aid office at, you know, whatever school was nearby and mm-hmm. someone would probably be willing to come and help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know, that's one thing that I've really enjoyed and I hope to continue to enjoy with, you know, the camaraderie that we share with one another and getting through things like that. So.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I was lucky too, because again, my former director was like, you should come to all the regional meetings. And, back in 99-2000 era, 7 and 8, the regions of LA and Orange County that cover all the community colleges out here would mm-hmm. meet nearly almost every month. So it was like every month I was going to Cerritos College, El Camino yep. College, Orange Coast College down there in the beautiful Costa Mesa area. Occasionally even down to Saddleback down there at the uh-huh. deep end of the OC. But you get to meet interesting people, see other campuses, see the life of students on a Friday, which generally when we did our meetings, which usually if you've been to a community college in California, back in the good old days when we were on campus, Fridays tend to be a little light on the traffic, easy parking, that much for sure.
Yep.
But yeah, you get to see your comrades out there working at the variety of schools, handling their business, helping their students out. It's a great experience to see those signs and along the way and stop in at a school when we're back to being open, everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably some of the most open of campuses. You know, it's a little harder sometimes to get onto, you know, schools that are like USC because it's kind of right there in the middle of downtown. They're a little more secure, but community colleges, you know, it's a good, we're all great operations. We're all a little different.
And, you know, if you ever come out to Joshua Tree, the national park out here is quite popular nowadays. And we're, you know, we can look out the window and see into the park from here. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area and, you know, not, it's kind of in between the two major towns in the area. So it's kind of centrally located, but a little out there in the middle of nowhere. But if you're ever up this way, then feel free to stop in or, you know,
yeah,
give us a call or shoot an email out and we'll meet up.
Yeah, you are in a different part of the beautiful part of the state. Dana, have you been out that way to Joshua Tree?
Absolutely. And that, like David said, that park is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there's lots to do and there's multiple entrances that you can go mm-hmm. in. Each one kind of offers up its own unique experiences from which direction you head.
Yes, absolutely. So me and some friends, we were there actually earlier this year. I want to say back in March, we were there. Okay. And like you said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember what entrance we went through, uh-huh. But we did a little bit of hiking and then we drove, you know, through all the little, I guess, little landmarks, you know, the different stone sculptures and.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of different options to do if you're into that sort of outdoor thing. You can go up for an hour, park somewhere and do a little hike, you know, if you've got somebody visiting, or if you want to do the full camping thing, there's plenty of campgrounds, and there's little subset camping areas as well. So there's even areas where you can camp and bring horses and things like that without even going into the park. But yeah, there's definitely a lot to do, a lot of things to see. And some of those rock formations are pretty incredible.
Yes, they're amazing.
Yeah.
And great views from a lot of places, you know, because you can be up there and you can, you know, you can see down in the valley, you can see down. Looking south towards San Diego, Mexico, literally. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And there's a spot where you can drive to it and get out and walk to the top of this peak. And you can actually look down on the low desert. So you can see, you know, desert hot springs and Palm Springs and all the way out to the Salton Sea from there. So yeah, it's really beautiful, especially, you know, sunrises and sunsets. If you're able to get up into the area during those times of the day.
It's really great. You give a great sales pitch for getting out there. And I'll tell you, when I visit my brother out there, and he doesn't live too far from the park, it's a great escape for those of us who live in the city. If for any reason to get away from everybody, yeah, sometimes you need that. But also, it is the night times. I mean, I will go out to my brother's and we'll just sit on his driveway when it gets dark after dinner. And assuming the weather's good, especially like in summer, you know, it stays warm. Yes, it's desert, everybody. But the sheer lack of city light alone, you get to see things you don't get to see when you're in LA, what we call stars and galaxies and the Milky Way.
And constellations.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is that there's been, you know, we have like a super Walmart, Home Depot center now, and their parking lot lights had to be adjusted so that they didn't interrupt the night sky.
That makes sense.
Visuals out here. So it does, the local community is really adamant about, you know, kind of keeping things beautiful the way that nature has them now, and not interrupting that with light pollution.
It's great that way.
There's a great section out in the park called, I think it's called the Great Burrito. And it's this really big, long rock formation that looks like, you know, the side of a burrito. And as much as I want to admit that I'm still adventurous and not getting old and not having too many gray hairs, that sort of rock climbing is not something that I want to do. I will watch and respect from afar what those individuals can do, you know, with the different clips and ropes and, you know, different gear that they have.
It's intense.
I'll stick to a little rock scramble here and there.
Yeah. You can definitely,
that's about it. Yeah.
You can gauge how involved you'd like to get with the rocks by how sheer of a cliff of rocks you want to go up. Or if you, people, you can just hike along. Yeah. Look at the nature as it comes at you.
Yeah. I'd prefer to watch from afar and just eat my own burrito while they.
I got you on that. I got you. Well, we're at that point again. We're going to take a little musical interlude and head it into our last part of the show, everybody. And just like that, we are into our last sip segment, everybody. Take that last sip. And as always, you know, this is the part of the show, David, where we do our dare you to selections, you know, books, music, TV shows, movies. Do you have something for us and for our audience?
Well, of course, The Mandalorian is something that we should all be watching.
Absolutely.
Of course, yes.
Every Friday, which is great. But I recently was told about some books for kids, and I have, like Dennis mentioned, three kids at home. Jocko Willick has his own podcast on YouTube. I'm sure they're elsewhere, but that's where I've seen them. And this book series is called Way of the Warrior Kid. So we've had some new things kind of come along with this virtual environment, and, you know, elementary school kids are learning how to communicate with one another, not being in person. So, and Jocko Willick is a former Navy SEAL, and he does jujitsu and things like that. So he takes his past learned experiences and applies them to kind of today's environments. And so it really interesting information on there if you're looking for something different to hear about.
No, that sounds great. We'll definitely we'll include some links in the show notes, everybody, just so you know, to the books and the pod and or everything else about that. No, that's a real great selection for everyone out there to get through these times. Well, Dana, David, that's about all we have time for today, but there's always another episode coming down the line. I want to thank David Shook from the Financial Aid Office at Copper Mountain College and Dana, my co-host, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You'll find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And as always, you can find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean as one word. And don't forget, you can find us on Spotify too.
If you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dana and myself.
This has been episode number 44, recorded the morning of Tuesday, December 8th, 2020.
Have a great day.
And have a great week.